This is DW News, live from Berlin. Russia accuses Ukraine of carrying out a drone attack on the capital, Moscow. Authorities say several drones were shot down approaching the city, while others struck and damaged apartment buildings. Ukraine denies involvement. Officials in Kyiv say Russia has launched a new aerial assault on the Ukrainian capital, with more than 20 drones shot down before dawn. One person has died. It's the latest in a series of strikes as Russia ramps up its offensive. And dozens injured in clashes between ethnic Serbs and NATO-led peacekeeping forces in Kosovo. Unrest flares over new ethnic Albanian mayors. Kosovo and neighbouring Serbia accuse each other of stoking tensions. I'm Ben Fazul and welcome. Russia has accused Ukraine of carrying out a drone attack on its capital, Moscow, in which several buildings were damaged. Russia's defense ministry said it shot down five unmanned aerial vehicles and diverted three others electronically. Videos posted on the Russian Telegram channel MASH appear to show explosions in the sky. Moscow's mayor says drones caused minor damage to several buildings and two people sought medical assistance after the strike. A Ukrainian presidential aide has denied Kyiv's involvement while predicting more such attacks. I spoke about this to our correspondent Jennifer Pajka in Riga, where DW has reported from since we were banned from Russia. I asked her for more details on the reported drone attacks.
Well, Russian media reports that drones hit at least three residential buildings in Moscow. And according to Moscow Department of Transport, the traffic in the area was blocked and the GPS signals were jammed after the alleged drone attacks. Drones were also allegedly shot down in Moscow suburbs. And videos of this, especially smoke in the sky, are now being circulated on social media. Well, Moscow Mayor Sergei Sobyanin actually said not to spread unverified information, but rely on official sources. He also stated that no one was seriously hurt. And according to Russian media, about 25 drones were involved in the attacks, and most of them were actually shot down or allegedly shot down in the Moscow suburbs. But Russian authorities did not specify the concrete number of drones involved.
Just for some background for our viewers, this isn't the first time a drone has exploded over Russian territory, is it?
No, that's definitely not the first time it happened. It happened more and more over the last couple of weeks and months, Ben. On March 4th, for example, a drone carrying an improvised explosive device attacked a substation of the Transneft Druzhba oil pipeline in the Belgorod region. No injuries were reported. And, of course, we should not forget about the alleged drone attack on the Kremlin on May 3rd. All in all, since the beginning of 2023, there were more than 30 suspected drone attacks reported on in Russian media.
DW correspondent Jennifer Pajka, thank you very much for the insights. Ukrainian authorities say Russia has carried out another wave of drone attacks on the capital, Kyiv, killing at least one person. Ukraine's defense forces say they shot down more than 20 drones in the early hours of Tuesday. Military officials say the drones were Iranian-made. The attack caused a fire in an apartment building with at least one person killed and three injured and several vehicles destroyed. Tuesday's pre-dawn attack was the 17th strike this month. On Monday, residents rushed to take shelter in metro stations during a rare daytime assault. Our correspondent Max Zander is in Kyiv. I asked him about those seemingly relentless Russian attacks.
Right, Ben. So the situation here in the capital, Kyiv, certainly did not get easier after the heavy attacks on the weekend. On the night from Sunday to Monday, the capital, Kyiv, saw the heaviest attack in terms of scale since the beginning of the full-scale invasion, and followed by a rare daytime attack yesterday, and then last night at around 2:30, residents here in Kyiv were woken up by loud explosions, air defense going to work yet again. According to the latest information by the Ukrainian Air Force, 31 Iranian-made Shahed drones were launched towards the capital, of which 29 they were able to take down, they say. Burning debris, however, did damage in various neighborhoods across the city. Cars were set on fire. Burning debris crashed through roofs of some buildings. In one case, a high-rise building was set fire to. People had to be evacuated. People had to be brought to hospital. In one case, a person was killed. This has been going on for a month now. Every other night, citizens of Kyiv are being woken up. We don't know exactly why the Russians are doing this. They may be aiming for military targets. We don't know what they're exactly aiming for and if they're hitting everything. This is secret for obvious reasons. But they may be trying to test the Ukrainian air defense, maybe trying to exhaust them, find out where Patriot batteries, for example, are located. This might not be the priority, but this is also taking definitely a psychological toll on the residents here in Kyiv. Imagine going to bed not knowing if you will be able to sleep or not knowing if burning debris will hit through your roof. So this is definitely also taking an effect on the people here.
Our very own Max Zander there. Tensions remain high in northern Kosovo, a day after violent clashes in which 30 NATO peacekeepers and 52 ethnic Serb protesters were injured. Kosovan Serbs were protesting over the election of ethnic Albanians to local councils. On Tuesday, crowds gathered in front of some municipal buildings while NATO forces and police set up barriers to prevent them from entering. On Monday, there were clashes in several towns, including Zvečan. It's one of the locations where ethnic Albanian politicians won local elections, which were boycotted by most Kosovan Serbs. Kosovo and its neighbour Serbia accused each other of provoking the latest in a long line of disputes.
NATO peacekeepers and Kosovo police pulled injured officers to safety as protests spun out of control. Ethnic Serb demonstrators earlier refused to move for Kosovo police vehicles. Witnesses say peacekeepers used tear gas and stun grenades to clear the protesters, who responded by throwing rocks, bottles, and even explosives. Cars were also set alight as demonstrators demanded the removal of ethnic Albanian mayors, who were elected by just 3.5% of voters because Serbs in Kosovo boycotted the election. Kosovo accuses Serbia of influencing ethnic Serbs to destabilize the country. Serbia's president blamed Kosovo's prime minister for the unrest.
All this was designed by Albin Kurti because of his desire to start a conflict between the Serbs and NATO so that he could wash his hands of the whole thing.
A string of incidents going back years has strained relations between the two neighbours. EU and US officials have criticised Kosovo's leaders for running the controversial elections.
Well, I just met with President Osmani at her request for talking about the situation right now in the north and our shared concern of the prospect of violence and the need to de-escalate.
Serbia has now put its military on high alert, fueling fears of further instability in Europe.
I'm joined now by Florian Bieber, Professor of Southeast European History and Politics at the University of Graz. How much concern is there on both sides that this conflict could escalate further?
Well, I think we have to keep in mind that the likelihood of Serbian army units crossing the border into Kosovo is extremely low, considering that Kosovo falls under the KFOR internationally mandated peacekeeping operation led by NATO. So I think what is more likely is to see these kind of clashes we've seen yesterday repeated if there isn't a de-escalation by both the Kosovo government and the Serbian government. And I think that's where the direction of the international efforts are going. But that in itself is very destabilizing, both for Kosovo and for the whole region. So I don't think we're going to see a kind of a full-scale conflict, but what is going on now has repercussions for both countries.
Can you give me a bit more background? Why did the majority Kosovan Serbs boycott last month's local election when it meant ethnic Albanians taking control of local councils, basically their plan backfiring on them?
Well, I mean, I think the point is that those institutions and the elected mayors really lack democratic legitimacy. They were elected by, you know, such a low turnout, well below 10%. I mean, in some cases, like the town of Zvečan, where we saw the, you know, the protests and riots yesterday, turnout was, around 3%. So literally 100 people or so voted in a mayor. That hardly gives the mayor any democratic legitimacy, considering the boycott. Now, Serbs boycotted it partly on Belgrade's instructions. They insisted that there should be first some kind of association of Serb municipalities set up. This has been part of an agreement between Serbia and Kosovo. And Kosovo pushed for those elections because since Serbs walked out in the fall, there have been no locally elected legitimate authorities. So in that sense, we have a stalemate. And the EU celebrated a few months ago an agreement between Serbia and Kosovo, but it turned out to be a very hollow agreement. And that's what we're seeing in practice now. So the EU is kind of, and the US have kind of lost their leadership in trying to negotiate a proper way forward between the two countries.
And can you also explain what role the Kosovan Serbs play in Serbian domestic politics?
Well, it's less that they play a big role in domestic Serb politics. I mean, their number is fairly small, a few tens of thousands. It's more the other way around, that Serbia and particular President Vucic exerts great control over the Serb community. So while many Kosovo Serbs were frustrated with the steps by the Kosovo government, the nearly complete boycott was also due to fear because the Serbian political party in the north is controlled by Belgrade, has strong controls to the kind of underground and criminal underground as well, and security structures. So that means that President Vucic has complete control in the north and gives very little wiggle room to local Serbs to also articulate their own political concerns.
Florian Bieber in Graz, thank you very much.
Thank you.
US and EU leaders have condemned Uganda for introducing one of the world's harshest anti-LGBT laws. U.S. President Joe Biden called the law shameful and has threatened sanctions, including aid cuts and visa restrictions. The EU's foreign representative said Uganda was undermining its international relations. The law sets punishments as severe as the death penalty for some homosexual acts.
Signed by the head of state, Uganda has now passed one of the world's toughest anti-gay laws.
And what is the punishment? The maximum punishment is death. So when you commit aggravated homosexuality, the law says you shall be liable to suffer death.
The act defines aggravated homosexuality as same-sex relations involving HIV-positive people, minors, and other vulnerable groups. Transmitting a terminal illness like HIV through gay sex, even with consent, is an offense punishable by up to 14 years in prison. Anti-gay sentiment has been on the rise in Uganda, where homosexuality has long been illegal under colonial-era law. Local activists and human rights lawyers opposed the law, saying it was passed without consultation with the LGBT community and is unconstitutional.
The bill, by criminalizing what you call consensual same-sex activity among adults, basically goes against key provisions of the Constitution, including violating the right to equality and non-discrimination.
The UN criticizes the law as draconian and discriminatory. U.S. President Joe Biden has called on Uganda to repeal the measure, describing it as a tragic violation of universal human rights. The law doesn't just punish those engaging in same-sex relations. It also makes witnesses in gay weddings, as well as property owners knowingly leasing to gay couples, liable for punishment. Many fear it's a state-sponsored tool to systematically dehumanize Uganda's LGBT community and further isolate them.
A reminder of our top stories here on DW News. Russia has accused Ukraine of a drone attack on Moscow. Authorities say several drones were shot down while others struck and damaged apartment buildings. Ukraine has denied responsibility. Ukrainian authorities say Russia has carried out another wave of drone attacks on the capital, Kyiv, killing one person. Ukraine's military says it shot down more than 20 drones in the early hours of the day. Up next, DW travels through Turkey to talk to people about the state of the country under President Erdogan. I'm Ben Fazulin in Berlin. Thanks for your company. I'll see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.